from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I am Ryan Harkness.
We're trying to switch things up, even though technically we're doing no such thing.
Yeah, we're just saying things in funny voices.
In funny voices.
This is what happens. What is this? Episode number what now?
I don't know. We're getting close to 80. Mm. Or maybe we're above 80. I don't even remember. But we are... What is the date today? We're February 8th, are we not?
Yes.
Actually, I'm sorry. We're 9th. I actually want to make an announcement before we start the show. Because, as it turns out, I have, of every North American city, the biggest following that we have is actually in Calgary, Alberta. And as luck would have it, I'm actually going there in a couple days for 3 weeks, and I'll be there for my birthday. And actually, my girlfriend is planning a gigantic birthday bash. So if you are a Calgarian and you want to come over and you want to hang out and you want to say hi, or you just want to have free cupcakes and all kinds of hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, yeah, because she runs that burlesque cupcake company, doesn't she?
Well, she doesn't run it. She was helping a friend kind of like do the...
Burlesquing?
Sexy cupcake. I don't think it's burlesque cupcakes.
Well, I mean, it's burlesque outfits.
Burlesque-ish. Yes, I suppose. Well, it's skimpy.
Yeah.
Anyways, what she would do is she would have a sexy outfit and she would go to companies and deliver cupcakes for people.
Mm-hmm.
But now those cupcakes will be also at the party.
And it's
happening on February 28th at the Soda. If you want any details, you can email me about it at jacobforte@gmail.com. And you know what? Truth be told, I want as many Calgarian fans to come fucking hang out, because it would be awesome to have you guys there for my birthday.
Yeah, and trust me, Jake would love to hate God at his birthday party and just talk shit about it nonstop with you guys.
Yep, and truth be told, also, if you want, like, I'm going to be bringing some of the t-shirts that we're going to be printing there. So if you really wanted a Jesus Saves t-shirt and not pay for shipping or any of that other stuff, you can just actually come over there and buy it there if you want, because I'm going to have some when I come down. So it's going to be a pretty slamming party, and featuring your favorite curmudgeoned atheist. So I highly recommend that you guys come. Okay, so on today's show, it's actually been prepared by Ryan, because I've been feeling completely and utterly out of my mind because I haven't had much sleep.
It's just one of those days. I understand that. It's like when you are a quote-unquote creative, as we claim to be.
Yeah, claim to be.
and you have to get on that fucking creative stallion and try and ride it somewhere. It can be very difficult if you've gotten no sleep, or you just, you know, those blah days where you wake up and you look outside the window and you're like, the world sucks a gigantic ass.
You know what I wanted so much today? I just wanted to bask in warm sun. You know, I was sitting on that on our couch that's near the only window that actually gets any light, because the way that it is, it's like, it's a great house that we live in, but there's not a lot of light. Just there's buildings fucking in the way, or it's not really directed towards
urban living.
It's urban living. What can you do, you know? But anyways, at a particular hour in the day, that couch gets some sunlight. So I was trying to warm up my body with what little sun that you actually get. And I was just, the entire time I'm thinking, I want to bathe in sun. I want it so bad. And I mean, I got like a tiny bullshit taste of it. But yeah, it was just one of those days where I just wish there was some sun here. So any of you listeners that are where it's fucking sunny, fuck you. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I just find it funny that you're going to Calgary and not Cancun.
No. Why could my girlfriend live in a tropical island or something like that? It has to be an equally cold place. Mm. But apparently, she claims that there are lots of Chinooks around this time, so it gets slightly warmer.
Which is just
a tease. You know, you might be down when there might be a slightly warmer spell.
When it's only about -7 instead of -26.
Yeah, that's great. I want the warm baking sun on my body. Unfortunately, the thing about it, me is that I don't tan very well. Like, I can get dark. Do you remember when I went to Bermuda for my sister's wedding?
Yes.
And it came back, and I was actually pretty damn dark. But the entire time, I was always sunburned. So I sunburn and I tan. I'm weird that way. I'm a living contradiction. Mm. So what do we have planned for today?
Okay, here's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about Dante's Inferno, because, you know, it's a game that's supposed to be all about...
it's like God of War, but with Christian themes.
Exactly. Yes. Then you got the Tim Tebow ad, because that happened at the Super Bowl.
It happened.
And we could finally talk about that as to whether or not it lived up to all the hype. Hint, no. And then we're going to go over... The topic of, can atheists be ethical? And we decided that we'd go to the experts, and we'd see what the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry website had to say about whether or not atheists are capable of being ethical.
Well, that actually sounds like it's going to be a hoot.
Are we also going to talk about Christ figures in movies?
Well, the only reason I was I wanted to mention something about it, because we can start with this.
Okay,
it's
let's
just
do
because
that.
I was reading I was going through the atheist calendar, because one of the things that I want to include is a bunch of, you know, famous atheists and what their birthday is. And I guess I'm not quite sure what the criteria is yet, because, you know, I haven't been including any movie stars or movie directors, because I kind of think that most of them are dick faces, so I don't care. I'm like, ooh, you're famous, big deal. I'm like, if you didn't contribute anything other than a shitty movie, you don't make the list.
Well, what about an awesome movie, though? This is the whole problem.
See, that is the problem. So on that list, on kind of the guy who's sort of like teetering on whether or not I'm going to include him is Paul van der Hoeven, who's... Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, don't ask me.
Whatever. He's got a weird name. He's the guy who directed RoboCop and Starship Troopers, two of my favorite dystopia movies, actually, about the future, quite honestly. And it turns out that he's an atheist. But, I was reading his wiki page. Yes, folks. I read Wikipedia. And one of the interesting things that he was talking about was his RoboCop movie was a bit of a Christ movie, because the character of RoboCop gets shot and basically killed and resurrected as basically a savior of mankind. There's even a scene where he's walking on water. I think it's near the end. So there's lots of weird kind of Christian parables that happen. And I was going through a list of all the movies that have Christ-like figures in them, which include Harry Potter, Gandalf.
What, Harry Potter is supposed to be the...
A Christ-like figure? Yeah. Because basically the whole thing is... it sounds like a bit of a stretch when you sort of like compare it. Number one is that he has a scar, like
because
his fight with evil.
I know, but let's look at it, because was this list from Wikipedia? Because I don't want to treat Wikipedia like a bad word, and I hate people who say shit like, oh, you've got a wiki education on this subject or that, because I'm like, it's better than no education on any given topic. But when you let people add to those lists, when you crowdsource that kind of stuff, everybody's going to throw in their pet thing. Like, in the seventh episode of Battlestar Galactica, there was a Christ figure, and I would like them included. There's a specific...
No, but that's what I love, actually. Like, let's take a step back. Would I rather have it crowdsourced to people who try to make connections between Christ figures, or would I rather Encyclopedia Britannica to tell me who qualifies as a Christ-like figure? Look, as long as you have a person that is supposed to sacrifice themselves, that dies and resurrects in order to defeat evil, in a way, I'm going to say right away, you have at least some elements of a Christ-like figure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we also
But you can't even really call it a Christ-like figure, because it predates Christ quite a bit. Christ was stealing all those aspects from other people.
Well, okay,
it's like the classic...
Here's the thing. We're not talking about Christ... In a way, Christus means the anointed one. So I want to be clear right now and say that this is not the story of Jesus, but rather it's messianic tales,
yeah,
which go back a really, really long time. I mean, if you think about the classic messianic tale, it's always a human being, or, you know, sort of a divine human being that overcomes the one thing that no human being can seem to overcome, and that is death. I mean, sure, you can have heroes that fight, you know, villains and overcome adversity and fight for the downtrodden or whatever, but you have nobody really that can come back from the dead except for these messianic figures. That's the whole thing about it. The obsession with resurrection. And you can see that all the time. You see in Hercules, Dionysus, you know, in Jesus, etc. Really, honestly, like, the list goes on. Mithras, the ancient mystery cults. It's always the same story. Somebody dies, but they come back. And we see that in movies, too. I mean, Gandalf. Gandalf. Classic fucking story of a guy who dies and then comes back and he's more powerful. He exorcises the demon that's in the king. Well, what's his name of the king? Theoden. Mm-hmm. He exorcises that demon. And even in the movie, in The Two Towers, like when they come over to in the forest, the ranger and the elf sort of meet Gandalf at first, and they think that it's actually Saruman. There's like this weird light, and he almost looks like angelic, kind of in the whole thing, right? So, I don't actually think that it's a coincidence that Peter Jackson filmed that way. Did you not see The Lovely Bones? I think that the man is slightly related.
Lovely Bones was terrible.
It was awful! If you're an atheist, do not watch this movie.
No, you know what? I'm not even going to fucking say that, because it had nothing to do with the fact that I don't believe in God, that I thought that movie was a steaming pile.
Oh, come on, man. A person who really believes in the afterlife might be touched by such things. You just think that that's silly.
No, I don't give a... I read fantasy. I used to read fantasy novels nonstop as a kid.
I know, it makes me sad.
It's like afterlife I could deal with in these movies. It was just a bad movie. It just was not good.
It doesn't make any sense. You can tell it's a really poor adaptation of a book, because there's just a whole bunch of scene missings. You know what I mean? Mm. Where you're like, I don't understand why this is happening right now. And yeah, it was pretty awful. But the only reason I wanted to mention is because I kind of thought... at least when it came to the RoboCop one, I love that RoboCop is kind of like a Christ-like figure, because it's RoboCop. Yep. He's a robot. He is the product of technology.
Yeah, but then you got movies where they try really too hard to
like put you stuff mean like in The Matrix.
Yes, I was going to say The Matrix. Yeah. It's funny that we are both on exactly. I'm sure all the listeners are like, trying too hard with Matrix. It's like, The Matrix.
Well, especially the third one. I mean, even in the first one, you could kind of like...
They should have stopped after the first.
I wish they did. I wish they would have just kept that mystery open.
It's not a trilogy to me.
It's one awesome movie?
The first movie, and then you know, highlight videos on YouTube of the other two.
Yeah, like chase scenes and a couple fight scenes in the second one.
Yeah.
And then the third movie, which makes absolutely no sense. And which ends with a gigantic fist fight. That makes a lot of sense. It's like, of course, it would end with a fist fight to determine the fate of mankind. And plus, you know, the whole way that when he dies and stuff like that, and like he looks crucified and all these, you know, things.
Oh, yeah. They tried too hard.
They really did. Okay, well, that's the only thing I wanted to mention about it. I just thought it was really funny. When you go through the list, and I'm sure the list is incomplete because they don't. You know, it is Wikipedia, so it's a work in progress. But and definitely, if you think that you can think about other Christ-like figures in movies, why don't you add to it? I would be curious to know, just offhand, what other characters in movies or fiction kind of follow the same type of messianic parables, because it is interesting to me. It doesn't prove anything than the fact that we're obsessed with the same bullshit stories.
Let's talk Dante's Inferno, because that's the whole thing, is that we might not like religion in real life, but the stories are awesome. And so when they bring it into a movie or they bring it into a video game, it interests us. You got Dante's Inferno.
Shut up. I tried Dante's Inferno.
You tried Dante's Inferno.
For all of 15 minutes before, I was just like, this game is a steaming pile of shit. But it wasn't actually because of anything inherent about the storyline necessarily.
I hear that from everything that I've read, they actually pretty much removed any controversial religious overtones from it. Completely, you know, it's very milquetoast, which is unfortunate, because that's what I was excited for. I mean, and I'm sure religious people can get behind that. You get a nice kick-ass God of War type game with a whole bunch of actual religious imagery and other things, but no, they didn't even do anything with it.
Well, I mentioned before that there seems to be quite a few video games and even movies that are starting to play around with Christian mythology. There was Darksiders, which kind of had that a little bit, where you know you play one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, And but it's a very kind of gray zone where even the angels are not necessarily good and the demons are necessarily bad. So it was kind of interesting in that regard. And design wise, it kind of looks like World of Warcraft on acid. Or on steroids, really.
Yeah, more on steroids.
Yeah, more on steroids. It's like Zelda on steroids.
Because here's the thing. If it was on acid, it would be a lot more original and interesting. And the truth of the matter is, it's just very derivative and pathetic.
It's still fun, though.
But, you know, Penny Arcade had a good point. I read a webcomic that said, is it derivative or an homage? It all depends on whether or not you like it or not.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But there was that movie Legion that just came out, which kind of deals with... It plays around with the Christian mythology a lot as well.
We were really interested in watching that until we saw, like, a two-minute clip from the movie, at which point we realized that it was going to be so awful that
I read the reviews and they were just talking about, like, action scenes are few and far between, and the rest of the time it's just bullshit, terrible character development that just will bore you to tears. So, yeah. I mean, it's another one of those, let's watch some highlights on YouTube.
In Book of Eli, another movie that deals with a whole bunch of religious undertones, overtones, blah, 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 apparently is another pile. I haven't seen that one either, though.
But you know what? At this particular stage, I think it makes sense. I mean, there is a bit of a clash when it comes to sort of, you know, religion and society. And it just makes people more aware and interested in religion in general. You know, it's this, religion is on our mind. All right, whether or not we admit it. It's on our minds a lot. I mean, it's in the minds of Tea Partiers. It's in the minds of atheists trying to fight back against, you know, religious dogma. It is the topic du jour. So we shouldn't be that surprised when it just pops up every now and then. I mean, Dante's Inferno, trying to capitalize on that very notion. But I think that the problem with this game, I mean, other than the fact that there are massive gameplay issues that I won't go into because this is not a video game review site. But for the most part, I think it's kind of funny that the only thing that stands out about Dante's Inferno, other than being a ripoff of the much more successful God of War series, is the fact that the way that they demarcate themselves is with a lot of nudity. You can see a lot of boobs in this game.
Like,
okay?
But here's the thing. Are we talking boobs like they do in most video games?
No, they move around.
I know, but they move and they jiggle and they're big and they're awesome. Yeah. But they never have any nipples.
No, this is all nipple.
It's all nipples.
Yeah. In fact, one of them, the goddess of lust that you fight, her nipples are like mouths with tongues. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And Dante's love interest... I don't know why, but she's dead, right? So, like, every time they have a shot of her, all you see is, like, these weird veins. Like, she has veiny boobs. It's not hot.
They added varicose veins
in the boobs, yeah.
Well.
That's probably the most interesting thing about the game. Other than the fact that you also fight a demon, like the gluttony demon, throws shit at you. So that's kind of like the slightly interesting thing about that.
Yeah, but if you're a scholar and you're going to that game to see if they actually follow the poem, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, not at all. That's the base. Basically, other than the 9 levels of hell present in the poem, which I've read about a third until I got bored. All right, I have the thing, the Divine Comedy. It's massive. It's a huge poem, man. Mm. It's like... it's thicker than the Origin of Species. It's a pretty thick book. So I made it about a third of the way through, and then I just got fucking bored to shit. But regardless, yeah, it doesn't keep any of the themes. Although what I thought was kind of interesting that they didn't play on too much at the beginning. You're in the Crusades, and you're just killing, I guess, Muslim people right at the beginning. But it doesn't sort of like it's not the main crux of it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was actually kind of like a shame because if you want to deal with brutal, horrible, terrible time in history, the Crusades are a pretty good place to start. You know, it's very controversial. They should have just done a game of the Crusades. That would be so epically controversial, don't you think? Mm. Like, you would just get in trouble making that game. That's what I love about it. I was reading, actually, some articles about the Crusades and... because, you know, obviously, they're depending on what site you go to, there are some places that will say, well, the Crusades were absolutely brutal and uncalled for. Especially when you read about, you know, like how many fucking people really did get killed by Crusaders. Like, it was a 3-year, what year was it? 1099, I think, is when one of the first Crusade happened. Anyways, where they're just talking about like 50 or 60,000 people slaughtered as crusaders moved their way to Jerusalem. And it's like, it's 3 years, and most of them were either dying or, like, their skins were full of boils from the sun. And, like, even they had to cut, like, their gums were so infected that they couldn't even eat, so they had to cut away at the infected areas and stuff like that. Like, just, they look probably like monsters. The crusaders, yeah, disfigured, monstrous guys, you know, with armor full of blood and, yeah, coming around killing everybody in town.
Man.
So I'm sure that they have sort of like a pretty epically legendary, horrible status in Islamic society. So I that would be definitely be a good setting for a video game if you feel controversial.
If you feel like pissing a lot of people off.
Yeah, why not? You know, like who needs to be nice? Speaking of nice, let's talk about the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, or the CARM, as their acronym so boldly states. They have a section on their website that asks the question, "Can atheists be ethical?" And I thought it would be, you know, like, well, I didn't think. Ryan thought that it would be neat if we kind of went through the list,
yeah,
and kind of boiled it down.
While trying to figure out a good topic for the show, I put it out on Twitter saying, hey, what should we talk about? One of our friends, Howell Teague, another guy with a difficult name, was asking.
It's pronounced Howell, actually.
Howell?
Yeah. I know, it's not even spelled that way. It's messed up.
Anyway, he was asking, he wanted us to talk about why ethics without religion is not inferior to faith-driven behavior. And that's a big question. And it could be, I mean...
Well, especially, you know, today on the site, I actually put up a post. There was a study that was, another study that was conducted by a Harvard professor that showed that, surprise, surprise, atheists are just as moral as their religious counterparts.
Well, I mean, we all know this, but trying to get down to the nuts and bolts, because we all know what religious people claim and what some of the stupid arguments against atheists having moral beliefs. We all understand that we have morality, because as atheists, we feel it.
Yeah, you just feel it.
And religious people might just have to take it on faith that we do. But
well, their first explanation was actually pretty funny. This is that, well, even atheists have God written on their hearts.
Yeah.
So that's their first explanation.
Well, basically, what I figured we'd do, rather than tackle the whole thing, because we could go into, there's a whole bunch of scientific explanations for why we have morality.
Actually, if you really want to read a good book on that explanation, you could read Michael Shermer's The Science of Good and Evil, which really kind of explains how morality can exist without religion. It's actually quite a good read. And mm-hmm. You might recall Michael Shermer is the editor-in-chief of Skeptics magazine. So, you know, he's more reputable than us, at least when it comes to this matter. But yeah, we'll try to tackle it in our usual edutainment way.
The short answer from Michael Shermer is evolution, bitches. But I decided what we do instead is we go to the Christian Apologetics site and check out what they had to say about whether or not atheists can be ethical. So we'll read through this paragraph by paragraph and then break it down, because it really is a treat. It's a nice slice of delicious humor pie.
Okay, well, you know how bad I am at reading in one read-through, so I'll let you start.
Okay, here we go. The answer to this question is a definite yes. Atheists are people who, whether they like it or not, have the law of God written on their hearts. They are subject to the same laws of our country and other countries, and they have a sense of right and wrong. They often work with people who are religious and have ethical standards, as well as non-believers who are don't.
Nice.
So they are exposed to all sorts of moral behavior. In addition, they often form their own moral standards based on what suits them. Besides, things like robbery, lying, stealing can get you in prison, so it is practical and logical for an atheist to be ethical and work within the norms of the law and social behavior. However you want to look at it, atheists generally are honest, hardworking people. Well, that's nice at the end that they did say that we are honest, hardworking people. I like that whole idea of we have the law of God written on our hearts.
It really, you know, what's funny about that explanation is it kind of runs through the gamut of saying, well, they have the law of God written on their hearts. Also, it's a logical thing for them, and it's because of the law that they don't, because that's basically what they're saying here in a nutshell. Like, you are not lying, stealing, or you know, committing robbery or even murder because it is against the law. And to that I have to ask, I'm like, would you, even if there was no specific law against it, would you kill anybody? Would you? Ryan Harkness, kill anyone if there was no law written.
I'd kill you. I'd kill you.
You filthy atheist.
I mean, but look at it like this. You go to the Middle East where it's perfectly legal to murder your daughter because she...
Well,
you know, impugn your
legal.
Honor.
It's not legal.
Oh, these honor killings are not?
No, the honor killings are not legal. But a lot of times...
My apologies to the Middle East.
Apologies all around. I mean, like, say in different countries, like, they'll still... They may still prosecute you or, you know, it is still considered illegal. So, I mean, you have to understand, too, that honor killings are not necessarily part of the Sharia law. They're actually kind of like an older cultural... what's I'm looking for? Just tradition that has been inherited. You know, it's like the honor traditions go back way, 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 way before even sort of like the birth of Islam. But, I mean, it really doesn't help when you have a religion that is just so misogynistic, you know, against women, you know, educating themselves other than the Quran. Because, I mean, the Quran says, oh, women should be educated. Yeah, they'll read that specifically as saying they should be educated in religion, and that is about it. Mm. There really is no effort to educate women beyond that. And why should they worry about it? I mean, look, for the most part, it's kind of like Christianity in America. You think that Christianity is dictating for you what your moral and cultural standards are, but it's the opposite. Your cultural standards are basically, you know, adapted. Like, Christianity is adapted to match whatever your current moral standards are. So this is the same reason why most Christians reject almost all of the Old Testament, despite the fact that they think that they follow the Bible. You know what I mean? They're like, well, we follow the Bible. It's like further on in this article, they talk about how the advantage of Christianity is that it has a strict moral code and you have to follow that. Well, if you were to follow the Christian moral code, you would have to follow all, you know, 613 laws of the Old Testament, which includes stoning fucking people that work on the Sabbath, children that curse you, anybody of your family members that does not believe in God, anyone who's this homosexual, witches, dwarves. I mean, the list goes on, and obviously you would be laughed out of a fucking courtroom if you were saying that the reason that you killed your neighbor was because you were 100% assured that she was a witch.
Nah, he was a shifty dwarf.
He's a witch dwarf. I mean, obviously everybody would say, well, you're taking the Bible out of context, this is supposed to mean other things. It's just because there really is no absolute morality. I mean, remember that's we talked about this a few shows where they had done studies about religious belief to see, you know, sort of like, is there a moral absolute, or do we shift our morality? Do we shift our perception of what God thinks is moral according to our own standards? And of course, that's what happens. You know, like the way that they conducted the study was actually pretty clever. They asked people to take a particular opinion, like they asked them their opinion about, say, abortion or other controversial issues, and then they made them recite the opposite opinion. And sometimes, actually, surprisingly enough, people would change their opinion based on just
hearing
learning
it.
More about it. Yeah, exactly.
Just hearing that there's another option out there.
Right, exactly. And after they were done, they still felt that God felt exactly the same way that they had, despite the fact that they had, like, just a couple hours before, they had felt exactly the opposite. So you use God to justify your current beliefs rather than have any indicative, set-in-stone moral fucking standard that you're always following. Because the honest truth is the Bible is too inconsistent to ever follow. You can't follow that thing. It doesn't make any sense. Of course it doesn't. It's a Bronze Age and older tome. It has no probative value in modern fucking society. It belongs in the, you know, fiction section with Norse mythology and all this other kind of shit. But people take this as being literal. And this is the scariest, craziest motherfucking shit I've ever heard in my life.
You should have gone more with the Indiana Jones. It belongs in a museum. Okay, let's keep rolling this along. Nevertheless, some Christians raise the question, what is to prevent an atheist from murdering and stealing? After all, they have no fear of God and no absolute moral code. No, we don't.
Well, that's the funny thing. You know, they talk about the fear of God. And if you think that morality is induced entirely because of fear, I got to ask you, I'm like, is that really the only thing that's preventing you from murdering and stealing?
It's like, oh, I really wanted to do that, but God would smack me down.
It's like, well, I'm afraid to go to hell, so I'm not going to steal from my best friend.
I've never, ever thought in that way, ever.
Well, I mean, I suppose every and once in a while, you kind of, not that you're tempted to murder, but you ever get in a position where you just don't have a lot of money and you're like, fuck, I wish I could just take that delicious looking thing. Sure, I mean, you have to, everybody faces a temptation once in a while, but it's not as though it's a really powerful temptation where you have to really struggle with it. You're like, no, that would be a pretty bad idea.
Yeah, it's quite wrong. Just skeezy and low. Okay, so the answer is simple. Atheists are capable of governing their own moral behavior and getting along in society the same as anyone else. Why, thank you, Carm. At the risk of labeling the atheist as self-centered, it does not serve the best interests of an atheist to murder and steal, since it would not take long before he was imprisoned and or killed for his actions.
What? Alrighty.
I like it through in that whole idea that you get killed for that. I'm like, interesting.
Well,
idea
they're Americans.
Of
I mean, they have like the death penalty in many states. So
Basically, society will only put up with so much if it is to function smoothly. So, if an atheist wants to get along and have a nice life, murdering and stealing won't accomplish it. It makes sense for him to be honest, work hard, pay his bills, and get along with others. Basically, he has to adopt a set of ethics common to society in order to do that. Belief in God is not a requirement for ethical behavior or an enjoyable life. Once again,
the only sentence that actually makes sense in the entire thing: belief in God is not a requirement for ethical behavior and enjoyment or an enjoyable life. Ta-da! I'm like, apologetics. You got it right there. That was the only sentence that they should have focused on.
But you know what's funny is that you could pretty much apply this exact same thing back at religious people and say that it makes sense for a religious person to be honest, hardworking, and paying their bills because, you know, you have to adopt the same ethics as the society around you. Otherwise, you're not going to get very far. Duh. You just talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's where they get a little bit sour.
This is on the other hand.
This is on the other hand.
Uh-oh.
Atheist morals are not absolute. They do not have a set of moral laws from an absolute God by which right and wrong are judged. But they do live in societies that have legal systems with a codified set of laws. This would be the closest thing to moral absolutes for atheists.
Well, you know what? I think it's, like I said before, I mean, it's funny that we have this idea that there are moral absolutes. Like, you know, you shall not murder. But murder has gradations because we know that if you kill someone else, it may not technically be murder. You know, if that person's trying to kill you, if it was in defense of someone, or if you're even in the fucking army. Are we jailing everybody that shot someone while in a war? No, we have not done this. I'm like, is this like a codified absolute system? We even recognize that there really are no moral absolutes. That's the really fucked up thing about life. There are no absolutes. None.
Okay, however, since the legal system changes, the morals in a society can still change and their morals along with it. At best, these codified morals are temporary absolutes. In one century, abortion is wrong, in another, it is right. So if we ask if it is or isn't, the atheist can only tell us his opinion.
Well, what else do you have in terms of sort of like, you know, ethics other than your own personal opinion? I mean, you could say, well, it's God's law. It's not an opinion. It is a fact. Oh, is that a fact? No, it is not a fact. It is still merely your opinion, and it isn't even a well-researched opinion. You just basically read an old dusty tome, and you told everybody, well, this is God's law. Well, how do you know? Well, because it's in the Bible. Well, how do you know the Bible is true? Because God wrote it. How do you know? It says so in the Bible. I see.
Even though the Bible has been wrong many, 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 many times.
Well, it doesn't matter, you see, because the times where it's wrong, it's merely parable.
If there is a God, killing the unborn is wrong. If there is no God, then who cares? Now, just a second here.
You want to go back to the...
Well, does God have an issue with killing babies? Like where does it say in the Bible that thou shalt not abort thine child?
The whole abortion thing and even the condom thing is actually pretty much based on this idea that remember the story of Onan? He was this
spilling his seed
when he was supposed to impregnate
or
his brother's widow.
Yeah,
he's supposed to have sex with her.
Yeah,
and God says, you know, you need to be fruitful and multiply, but he pulls out coitus interruptus, right? Mm-hmm. Bam! God strikes him dead. There are only fucking two people in the Bible that get struck dead by God, and Onan is one of them. All right, so he, I guess they view that as a pretty serious event, since God comes out of his cloud home to just be like, bam, shazam!
I know, it just seems to me like they missed the point of the story, which is if God tells you to fuck your sister-in-law, you fuck your sister-in-law, and you don't go half-ass about it. But it past that, it doesn't really say anything else.
Well, look, I mean, obviously, the question of abortion is a pretty sensitive issue. So a person's going to try to find any part in their religious tome that would, you know, condone this. I mean, you have to understand that these are, if you're not even allowing birth control to begin with because you think that this is a form of abortion, well, you know, the abortive process of mating, you're like, well, every time you have sex, you should be producing offspring. I got to tell you, I'm like, I don't know if that's really a good idea. I like sex. I don't want hundreds of kids. I really don't.
And trust me, those women will get used up right quick.
But if you just even study a little bit about biology, you would find out that the biggest, you know, abortionist is God. I mean, a significant portion of all pregnancies. I think I was reading this one site that was saying like almost half of all pregnancies ended in abortions, because most of the time you didn't even know you were pregnant. It's just, sure, the egg was fertilized, but the conditions weren't right or whatever. Boom, it's flushing your system. Or, I mean, how many times in sort of like, you know, if you get pregnant, the doctor will be very specific with you that the first couple months is still fucking touch and go, man. You cannot consider yourself pregnant until a particular phase where you're safe and you're no longer in that whole, your body might still reject this because it is a fucking parasite. So, yeah, God is the greatest abortionist of all time.
Okay, back to the article. If it serves the best interest of society and the individual, then kill. This can be likened to something I call experimental ethics. In other words, whatever works best is right. Society experiments with ethical behavior to determine which set of rules works best for it. Hopefully these experiments lead to better and better moral behavior. But as we see by looking into society, this isn't the case. Crime is on the rise.
Well, that actually is a false statement.
It's crime, a completely false
crime
statement.
Crime is not on the rise. Since the 1990s, crime has actually been going down.
It's been going down for pretty much the last 30 years. And even if it got up to the same levels that it was in, say, the 60s, it's still pretty good compared to where it was before.
Well, you have to, let's go back, you know, like, let's go back before we were really tracking crime statistics and ask ourselves, you know, was crime rampant in, say, the 11th century, you know, more so than now? I would bet that yes, probably yes, because the society was, you know, a lot more brutal back then. And sure, we have, right now we have codified laws and we have like a you know, like a strong government and police force. So there really is no, it's actually surprisingly difficult to get away with a crime. But when there's nobody policing, I mean, barbarian raiders going around raping fucking towns, who's going to stop them? Who is going to stop them? Nobody. Mm. I mean, like, you don't consider that kind of like crime on the rise? Barbarian raiders going around raping and pillaging towns?
Nobles fucking raping and pillaging their own fucking citizenry?
Yeah. I mean, what was that? What was it, the Prima Nocte?
Yeah, Prima Nocte.
I mean, like, come on. That's rape. All right? Let's be honest. Where the Lord is allowed to have sex with your wife before you do. Tell me that's not a crime. I mean, this is one of the false facts that religious people like to throw around. You know, they say society is in moral decay.
It's going downhill.
It's going downhill. They're always fucking saying this. And there really is no proof that society is going downhill. I don't know where they come up with this, but they want us to rally back to them as though, oh no, we're in moral decay. We need religion.
I think it'd be pretty obvious to say that we are much improved over the past 50 years, rights for women, rights for everybody.
Yeah, rights for, like, you got lots of countries that are, you know, rights for homosexuals and shit like that. This is a very, very new development in human history. Crime and immorality is not on the rise. Actually, if anything, it's going significantly down. We're becoming, I feel to some degree, we're becoming a lot more ethical. I mean, when in history have other countries come to the rescue of independent sovereign nations when there are disasters? This is a fairly recent phenomenon. You know, we didn't used to do that. If your neighbor had an earthquake, that's when you would invade him because he's down. It's like, let's fucking take it over right now. Yay.
Okay. Let's get back to the fucking crime is on. I hate that.
I hate that so much.
Okay, there are potential dangers in this kind of self-established slash experimental ethical system. If a totalitarian political system is instituted and a mandate is issued to kill all dissenters, or Christians, or mentally ill, what is to prevent the atheist from joining forces with the majority system and supporting these killings? It serves his self-interests, so why not? Morality becomes a standard of convenience, not absolutes.
This is what I love here, because apparently this group is not aware that Christians were previously a totalitarian system. I'm like, have you not heard of the Inquisition, man? It happened for hundreds of years where OC, a totalitarian religious system, persecuting individuals which they foresee as having a different religious belief than them. And not just, oh, they didn't slap them on their hands, they quartered them, they burned them alive.
And it wasn't just a situation where they said God doesn't exist and they're like, oh, that's, or like, I believe in Buddha. It was, I believe that God exists, but the sacrament is not this. Or
I don't believe in the Holy Trinity. I'm a Gnostic. And they're like,
I have to die. I believe that God doesn't support, you know, the nobility. The nobility fucking shitting on us all the time.
Yep. So I'm like, I guess that in their world, Christians have never, ever been the political power that is totally and utterly subjugating individuals and forcing their own morale, their twisted sense of morality on everybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, did I ever tell you why they used to burn people alive? Because they didn't want to shed their blood. That's why. I'm like, they thought they were doing them a favor. They're like, well, I'm going to save your soul. I'm going to burn you alive. Like, yeah, how about you don't do that?
I just don't understand this whole idea about this strange mandate to kill all Christians, and then it serves an atheist's self-interest to support this. I'm like, no, I would not support that at all.
And it's very weird. I guess it's like kind of an us versus them mentality. You know, mm-hmm. if you're not a Christian, they pretty much figure, well, you must be against us, and they really don't realize they're saying like, look, we don't like your religion, but I don't have a problem with you. It's like, I don't want you to die just basically because you believe in a fairy tale. That's stupid.
I honestly don't care about their religion. I care about how they try and push that religion on society as a whole and ignore reality when we really need to understand what's going on with reality in order to deal with the problems that we're facing nowadays.
Yeah,
it's kind of
important. The challenges of mankind can't be met when you're perpetually praying that somebody in the sky is going to save you.
That won't.
You know? That's ridiculous.
Okay. But to be fair, just because someone has an absolute ethical system based on the Bible, there is no guarantee that he will not also join forces in doing what is wrong. People are often very inconsistent, but the issue here is the basis of moral beliefs and how they affect behavior. That is why belief systems are so important and absolutes are necessary. If morals are relative, then behavior will be too. That can be dangerous if everybody starts doing right in his own eyes. A boat adrift without an anchor will eventually crash into the rocks.
I love whenever they try to use metaphors. Oh, yes, a boat adrift will crash. Ergo, moral absolutes are needed. I'm like, no, they're not. It's just a stupid fucking metaphor.
And it's like, whose boat is adrift? I'm pretty sure we're all driving our boats and we see where we're going. Well,
so, you know, the same thing that was discussed in Shermer's book, The Science of Good and Evil, is just the idea that there's more of an evolutionary advantage to cooperation. We're a social species, so naturally we're going to be cooperative. If you think that morality is, or even that morality for an atheist is based on logic, I'm like, almost no decisions that you've ever made in your life is based on logic. I've said it once and I said it again. Human beings are rationalizing animals, not rational animals. Most of the decisions that you make, they're emotional decisions, and you only later back them up with, you know, rationalizing. That's why I fear religious people, because you have a book in which, if you have, I don't know, any tendencies for genocide, rape, incest, infanticide, you have a document which you can justify your beliefs and actions. That's why fundamentalists are so scary, because they take all of their stuff from their religious texts. You know, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, they have plenty of fodder for their craziness, because they're rationalizing their behavior based on what they read in their crazy ancient tomes, where people used to behave very poorly. You know, an eye for an eye is a poor behavior. This is not a very good behavior to do this. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I mean, if you're rationalizing everything and you have like this terrible fucking book to rationalize with, that's terrifying to me. That is absolutely terrifying.
Okay, the Bible teaches love, patience, and seeking the welfare of others, even when it might harm the Christian. I'm not pretty sure I'm a dad.
I don't know.
In contrast, the atheist presuppositions must be consistently changing and subjective. Oh, they must be.
They must be.
And do not demand love, patience, and the welfare of others.
I don't even know what that means.
Instead, since the great majority of atheists are evolutionists, their morality, like evolution, is the product of purely natural and random processes that become self-serving.
I guess the idea is an atheist, according to this fucking organization, no atheist can be altruistic. So because we just believe in, you know, nature, red tooth and claw, and that's what evolution is all about, therefore we can't be altruistic. I find that, you know what, I hear that all the time. I find that personally insulting. I'm like, look, I believe that evolution is the mechanism behind our existence, but I don't believe that it is a moral code. It's a horrible fucking code. Nobody wants to live red, you know, tooth and claw out there.
No one wants to go back to nature's survival of the fittest or any of that.
No, it's not good. I mean, it's like Richard Dawkins says. I mean, it explains a lot, but we shouldn't pattern our moral systems based on it. And I agree. Of course, we all agree with that. It even feels wrong. You know, like in the back of your head, your intuition tells you that's not a good idea.
But that's God putting his stamp on your heart.
All right, let's wrap it up. What else? What's the last?
Okay, this is the last one. Basically, the atheist cannot claim any moral absolutes at all. To an atheist, ethics must be variable and evolving. This could be good or bad, but with human nature being what it is, I'll opt for the moral absolutes based on God's word. And not on the subjective and changing morals that atheism offers.
Now, if you're wondering why he said that, you really have to understand the crux of Christian belief, which is basically that you are a sinner and that you are a piece of shit. Okay? The whole reason why you surrender yourself to Jesus is because you're not worthy. You know, you're bad. You are tainted with sin from the, you know, from Adam. So, you know, you sin all the time, you lust in your heart. You are basically a piece of shit. So if you were to try, like if Christians were forced to trust human, altruism and behavior or God's word, they'll always pick God's word because they're like, well, human beings cannot be trusted.
Human beings suck.
Right, exactly. They're not humanists at all. They don't believe that there's anything very redeemable about humans other than the fact that they need to seek redemption through a messianic figure like Jesus. And this is what I actually find the most insidious about Christianity, this lack of quote-unquote faith in human beings and saying like, well, no, you're bad. All human beings are bad. I'm like, most human beings are actually pretty good. There are some people that are bad. I'm not going to deny it. It's not like every human being is great. But, I mean, just go out in any country in the world and you could be in any country. Say you have no money and you're homeless. You got nowhere to stay. You will always find in every fucking country on this planet someone that's willing to take care of you. And that's amazing. Think about that. Apparently, according to Christians, we're all pieces of shit, but really we're not. It's quite obvious that we're not. It's like, unfortunately, most of the times the ones that are pieces of shit tend to have a lot of power. But what can you do? Nice people get kind of walked all over, and that's kind of the majority of us. Mm. But yeah, that's what I feel like the most distressing about it. They're like, well, we have these moral absolutes because human beings are bad. And I'm like, you're looking at it backwards. You're looking at it completely backwards. I trust my fellow human being a lot more than I trust, you know, a dusty old 2,000, you know, or more than that, 5,000-year-old tome.
Yeah, Sky God is not exactly who I want to rely on for goodness.
I mean, read the Old Testament, people. Is this the guy you want to pattern your behavior at? He killed almost all of mankind because he was dissatisfied with it. Oh, I don't like what you're all about. Flood time. I'm going to kill all of you. I mean, there's no redemptiveness. There's just sort of like, you're all going to die now.
And you see that all the time. The vindictive God of people's religion, fucking up Haiti, fucking causing 9/11, all these other things. He's a dick face.
Well, I mean, of course you're going to feel that he's a dick face. If you attribute all natural phenomenon to fucking God, yeah, you're going to think that he's a dick. Because nature is cruel, you know? Like, an earthquake is cruel. I don't care. That if it crushed, like, you know, 200,000 fucking people to death, it has no will. It's just nature doing its thing. Tectonic plates moving. Volcanoes erupting and killing everybody. Sucks to be us. We live on a cooling rock surrounding a nuclear ball of fire. Sometimes bad things happen. Who knew? But if you attribute all of that to a god, it's going to seem like he's a gigantic dick, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you, we mentioned this last show where this group of 1,000 rabbis were like, oh, the reason why Haiti was hit with this earthquake is all the licentiousness over there. I'm like, that is so morally repugnant that I want to vomit in my own mouth. I'm like, come on, do you really believe that? You suck. You fucking suck. And you think what you have a good life because you lead a great life because you believe in God. That's why nothing bad happens to you. Come on now. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, you know what? I think that we should wrap up the show with that.
We're not going to talk about Tim Tebow just quickly?
Well, you know what? I thought we should talk about that next time because I want to kind of put it up on the site because it's I don't know if everybody saw it, so I kind of don't want to mention it before they do.
Fair enough.
I mean, the only thing I'm going to say about it is that it's just tame. It's fucking tame.
Yeah, I think we got atheist bus added.
Well, we'll talk about that next show anyways. Maybe we'll talk about it on the bonus show. Yeah. So it's one of those things where, oh, if you want to listen to it, you're going to have to pay.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm holding out that card, everybody. I'm holding out that card. Now, you know what? I just want to mention again our regular pitch. If you love the show, we do have a bonus one. It's $20 a year. You get access to all the old shows, which is up to number 40 now. So we greatly appreciate this. This is how we actually are able to do our thing. So thank you for all those that are already patrons. And think about it, guys. It's actually a pretty sweet deal. At $20 a year, it's not bad. We like to think so, right?
Yep.
All right. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I am Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everyone.